Hey there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and I just wanted to take one quick second to tell you about a book that's available now on Amazon that features Kyle Harrison, or Colorblindness, the author of tonight's story. Horror Stories to Ruin Christmas, Serenity Falls Forever. It's available now on Kindle and on paperback on Amazon, and doesn't just have Kyle Harrison, but as well as many other No Sleep authors that you all might know and love. Check it out, guys. I'll have a link in the description down below. And on to tonight's story. I lived in the Vista Green apartments for about 4 years now without much complaint, and I pay my bills on time. I always make sure that rent is a week ahead, and that if I have any maintenance problems, I call the super that same day. I guess you could say that I fell into a routine. Everything became automatic. Grab the mail, punch the security code, nod politely to neighbors. You just let one thing blend into another before you know it. Weeks pass by, and months, and the years. Everything blurs together. I guess that's why when something out of the ordinary occurs, it's so jarring. It's like when you're driving along and suddenly you wind up in a traffic jam. If you aren't careful, a situation like that can become a 10-car pileup. But this is what happened to me just a few weeks ago. Recently, management made it clear that there were going to be several renovations made to the building. And at first, I didn't think it would affect me. But as I learned rather quickly, they wanted to start to work at the top and go down from there. Now, where am I supposed to stay as this is going on? I remember asking the workers as they started moving my furniture around. It felt like my home was being invaded.
It'll take 12 hours, maybe 18. We'll be out of here so fast you won't even know that we were here,
the head maintenance guy told me. So I called my girl Lisa and asked if she wanted to go spend the day shopping. But it was pointless to stand around and get an anxiety attack when I couldn't do anything to stop them. You're making a mountain out of a molehill, Lisa told me once we were away from the apartment. They stripped down my floors and installed new lighting for me about a year back and didn't charge me a dime. It's one of the perks of living here, she explained. Couldn't argue with that. So I resolved to push it out of my mind for the rest of the day. And it worked. By the time I was telling Lisa goodnight and getting into the elevator, I had completely forgotten about the maintenance men. That changed when I stepped out on my floor and I saw something leaking out from underneath my apartment door. It looked like smoke, like low, rolling clouds of gray smoke that were pushing out of the penthouse. Immediately, I ran and unlocked the door, thinking my entire place had somehow burst into flames. I used my scarf to cover my mouth and then gently pushed the door open. Instead, as I entered, I found that the same strange gray smoke was wafting about on the floor of the den in the first hall. Nothing had been disturbed until I reached the kitchen. That was where I found the first body. One of the maintenance men was lying against the cold tile floor, either passed out or worse. Another was right across from him, keeping my mouth covered. I went back to the hall and I cranked up the AC, hoping to get the smoke to escape my apartment via the vents. As it cleared, another mystery unfolded. Between the bodies of the two workers, I saw what appeared to be a trap door, hidden beneath the tile. From the tools that were lying near, it was also clear that these men had been working to pry apart the tile and get to the door. The door itself looked old, like the kind you might find as a tornado shelter. And then I noticed that they had in fact succeeded in shimmying it open, because that was where the strange gray smoke was coming from. Slowly I opened the trapdoor all the way, trying to get a good look at what might lie below. But instead all I saw was a ladder, plummeted into the darkness. Aside from the ladder, the only thing visible in the tunnel was the smoke. It kept rolling out over the top of the still bodies of the men, and watching it slither about my apartment made me more nervous than I already was. My first idea was to call the super, but then I remembered how late it was, but she'd already gone to bed for the night. My second idea wasn't much smarter either. I figured if anyone had an idea of what to do, it'd be Lisa. "This stuff is giving me a headache," she moaned as she checked out the rest of the apartment first and then focused on the two dead men in my kitchen. "Jesus Christ, Chris. Why haven't you called the police yet?" I asked. I don't know. I didn't know what to do," I admitted as she leaned down to examine the trapdoor. "The hell does this lead?" she asked, looking down the hall. I stood alongside her, nervously biting my lip and wondering the same thing. "There's no way this goes to the floor below. There's probably only like 15 feet between us," Lisa said as she took off her heels and started to get in the hole. "Wait, what are you doing?" I asked. "There's only one way to get to the bottom of this," she quipped. I watched as she descended into the darkness until she was gone from sight. Then I waited. Felt like forever. And finally I got nervous and I called down to her. "Lisa? Lisa, can you hear me? What did you find?" I asked. The worst response I got was none at all. The tunnel was quiet. I tried to shine a light down there, too, to see how far it went, but the illumination didn't travel very far. And then, just as I was trying to figure out what to do next, my foot touched one of the maintenance men's shoulders, and suddenly his body disintegrated like dust. I stifled a scream as I watched it collapse into itself the way a sandcastle would, and then I turned to the other man and wondered if the same would happen to him if I bumped him. I gently reached towards his arm and gave it a squeeze. Then his skin faded into ash as well. I stood there confused, scared for the longest time, trying to figure out what had just happened. And then I watched in stunned silence as the fog that I had seen from earlier slowly covered the remnants of their body, as if it was swallowing up the particles that was left. Then it seemed to slither back into the hole where it had come from. In a matter of minutes, my apartment was clear of the gray smoke, and I was standing alone, staring down at the pit. Probably stood there for the longest time, looking down at the tunnel, hoping that Lisa would come back, but eventually I convinced myself to close the door and cover up the hole. I checked into a hotel for the night. I got as drunk as possible, trying to forget about the hole and the mystery fog. And the next day, I went to the super to explain what had happened to his two maintenance guys, but he acted like I was the crazy one. "Why are you looking at me like that?" I asked angrily. And then, to my surprise, behind me, the two men I had seen turn into ash stepped into the office and nodded politely towards me. I felt this odd coldness about them when they were talking to me. "They had to start the renovations next week, but something came up. You needn't worry about us bothering you anymore," one of the men said. It felt like my eyes were playing tricks on me, but I didn't want to look like a crazy person, so I thanked them for their time, and I left. I was crossing the lobby. Another familiar face stopped me dead in my tracks. "Lisa! Oh, thank goodness you're all right," I said as I ran up to give her a hug. But if the maintenance man had acted cold, and the way that she treated me was like hell had frozen over. "Chris, everything okay?" she asked with a sneer as she stepped away from me. My mouth felt dry. It was some kind of prank? I mean, what do you mean, am I okay? Are you okay? You were in my apartment yesterday. You went into that strange tunnel. I mean, don't you remember?" I asked anxiously. She responded by stepping onto the elevator and shaking her head as if I was babbling nonsense. "You must have had one too many last night. I think I would remember something like that," she chuckled. I was speechless. Until I made it into my apartment, and the confusion got worse when I checked my kitchen. I found no indication that the maintenance workers had ever disturbed the room at all. I mean, had it all been in my head? I tried my best to stop thinking about it, but this time I couldn't simply shrug it off. I found the few tools that I had in my emergency kit and I went to the kitchen to see for myself. Gradually, I pried the tiles up, trying to see what was underneath. It didn't take long. It was just solid. There's no tunnel, no trap door. Maybe it had all been a dream. But for some reason, I felt the need to dig deeper. I pushed down against the floor and I brushed off what I thought would be dirt to see the outline of the door. And my heart skipped. Then, with renewed vigor, I pushed on through until I could easily open it again. Just like before, the ladder sank into the darkness. I called Lisa immediately, desperate for some kind of sane explanation. She rushed to my apartment and examined the tunnel. A perplexed look on her face. "Now this is quite strange, Chris, but I don't see the big deal," she commented as she walked around the other side. "Have you gone down there to check it out?"
You went down yesterday. You don't remember a thing," I sputtered.
"I'm fine." "You should be fine, too. We could go down together if you want," she replied. Something in her tone sounded wrong. Not like the Lisa I knew. It made my skin tingle, and I stepped away from her.
"Or I had the wind knocked out of me. I was frightened. I was confused. She grabbed at my hair and tried to drag me towards the pit. Lisa, what's gotten into you? I screamed as I pushed my fingers into her face and tried to break free. Lisa, or whatever was now controlling her body, hissed at me like a poisonous cobra. She snagged her nails into me and slammed my head against the tile. I switched to survival mode, and I fought back as hard as I could to overcome her, pushing her towards the pit. I knew from her feral spirit that it was going to be either me or her, and with all my strength, I pushed her straight to the edge of the pit. She lost her footing and fell straight into the hole. Lisa screamed, and I watched as she plummeted, her voice echoing for nearly 10 minutes until it was just a distant blur. I remember thinking I just killed my best friend. I fell to my knees, broken and defeated. Took all I could to remember that this thing couldn't have been Lisa. Whatever was in this tunnel had changed her. What was down there? I had to know. Something inside me stirred me to know, but this time, it would need to be me that went down there to find the answers. We're going down now. And I'll update when I get back. Maybe I'll take a few pictures of what I found along the way. Wish me luck. Update. I was mistaken. There's nothing here. There never was. I know you probably don't believe that, given everything I've said prior to this, but it's the truth. You don't believe me? I mean, you can always just come see for yourself.
Hey there, kids. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and I just wanted to tell you thank you so much for watching tonight's video on YouTube, for listening to tonight's episode on the podcast that you can find on Spotify, on Apple, and on Google Play, or anywhere else that you guys happen to listen to podcasts. One other thing I wanted to tell you before we get to moving on to the patrons is the books that are currently available on Amazon. If you guys like seeing creepypasta stuff from me or from many of the authors that I work with, check out the Creepypasta Collections, both Volume 1 and Volume 2. You can find them both on Amazon. Really, the stars of those are the authors that are in them, which are some of the greatest authors, I think, from both classical creepypastas as well as up to modern ones that we've worked with today. And now, for patreon.com/MrCreepypasta, which you can always find in the link in the description, I want to give you all a very big thanks. There's many of you down there in the descriptions who I give big thanks to, and everybody also at this tier, like Dr. Strawberry, Jordan Alexander Sanchez, Ken Lando Higuchi, Brianna Ventine Jensen, Chompinski, The Red Oak Shield Virus, Sandy Barney, H.G. Weevil 3, Diana Kraus, Stephen Van Huss, Tristan Pelton, Nico Kao, The Ginger Bros, Dante Rao, Rafael Rodriguez, Last Blade Song, Don Muehlmeister, Eliminator 86, Nebsky, Steampunk Sinner, Optimistic Avocado, Caleb Dougal, Daniel Paulson, Finley, and Sky Harbor. You guys are the MVPs, and you guys keep the channel running, and I honestly cannot thank you enough for all that you do. That's all for tonight, guys. Sweet dreams.